What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods. All right, party people, another episode of the Fatherhoods Podcast. We're down one host today.
Yeah, KGB's down.
KGB's down, but for a very good reason, as is typical.
Of this podcast.
Yeah, our excuses are very much centered around our kids and our family, so that's what's going down. So he'll be back next week, hopefully, and we can hear a little bit about what's going down. But today we have a guest, a very interesting guest. He is an author. He's also a gentleman who, I would say, conquered child support, and we'll kind of get into the details.
I'll say an advocate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's not misconstrue it. Like, he beat the system and is not taking care
of his
kids.
No, he's an advocate.
Yeah. He's definitely trying to make sure that dads are doing their thing, but also was able to go through the system and came out victorious. And I purposely didn't dig too deeply because I wanted to hear the story told from your mouth, right? Uh-huh. So with us today is Lionel Tillman, author of How I Stopped Child Support Legally.
Man, how you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us, man.
Yo, by the way, whoever's listening, y'all need to go to YouTube and look at the video version of this episode, please. Because Lionel's setup is crazy right now.
Hey, man, it's all about quality. You know, just producing quality. It's the brand.
Yeah.
For sure.
So let's
get into, you know, I know that I'm sure that you could talk for hours about your journey and how you got to where you're at right now. But let's start to how you were inspired to go on this journey and tackle child support.
So unfortunately, I found out about my child support case 7 years after it started.
Oh,
So out the gate, I was already in arrears. I was in the streets. I was hustling, doing my thing. Once I got a job, you know, turning my life around as I'm maturing, about 6 months in, I get a call from HR on payday. It's like, hey, Mr. Tillman, HR want to see you. I go to HR. They're like, well, we got a income withholding order, and they're going to start garnishing your checks effective immediately. I'm like, who? What do you mean? And they're just like, well, child support. And I'm like, child support? What do you mean child support? And they said, well, all we know is they sent us this income withholding order. Here's a notice. You can contact them. I contact them. They're telling me, hey, you had 6 months to respond. Unfortunately, it's been 7 years and your response at this time is untimely. There's nothing that can be done. You may want to seek legal representation. They, you know, instructed me to go to see the the family law facilitator. I went to them. They said, hey, you know, under family code, such and such, you had 6 months to respond.
This is in California, right? Just
in California. Yeah. Right. There's nothing that can be done. So, and that went on for another 13 years.
Wow.
Hold on. So how long ago did you actually get everything resolved?
That was 5 years ago. It was in 2018.
Okay.
So from the case started in 1996.
Yeah.
And it went on. The case went on until 2018.
And were they garnishing that whole time?
Yes. They start garnishing from 2003. That's when I got a job.
Right.
So from 2003 until 2020, 21 rather, They were garnishing check. They was taking money, bank levies, liens, the works, suspended license, passport, everything.
Bam. So you were, I mean, metaphorically handcuffed for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, yes. You know, after the, so during this, the 13 years there, I'm paying them an additional $50 on top of the money that they're taking. So they don't suspend my license, but every year my license got suspended for a system error.
Oh,
every
shit.
Year. So I'm having to pay them an additional 50 to get the release. I have to pay the DMV and another 75 to get my license reinstated. This particular year, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's been 13 years at this point, and I'm like, man, I don't even know why I'm going through this. Like this is fraud anyway. And the lady said, well, what do you mean fraud? And I'm like, she's like, well, yeah, you got served. I said, wait, I got served? She said, yeah, you got served. And I'm like, well, tell me what day did I get served? Because I've been with me every day of my life. I know I never got served. She placed me on hold. She comes back. She says, I'm sorry, Mr. Tillman. We don't have your signature. And I said, what? I know you didn't have my signature. She said, well, that don't matter anyway, because you volunteered into the program. Volunteered into the program? What do you mean I volunteered into the program? She said, I'll tell you exactly what day, you know, you signed. She placed me on hold. I bullcrap you guys not. The lady comes back on the phone and she says, I'm sorry, Mr. Tillman. We do not have your signature. And from that point, I'm doing what anybody would do. I need to speak to the supervisor. This. So they get me to the Ombuds department, which is supposed to be like internal affairs for child support.
Yeah.
Which they didn't do anything. So they told me that I was supposed to get served, and they told me I volunteered, which they admitted that they didn't have either. So I just started doing research to see what else were they supposed to do. And that's ultimately what got me on the journey of creating a competent defense for myself.
So 7 years after the fact, after the case was started, is when you found out about it.
Correct.
When did you actually start to go into litigation and you know, that legal process?
This was 2020. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. So there's arrears. At this point, it's $60,000+ in arrears. So when I found out about the case in 7 years later, I was already $24,000 in arrears. So that's why they started doing everything. We didn't go into litigation until 2020.
And how many kids? Two?
I have three kids, but as my guy, one credit guy say, this is where the water starts to get muddy. the child where the initial child support started was conceived when I was a minor. And when I say a minor, I'm meaning 12 years old.
Whoa.
God, yo, this is made for TV, bro.
I mean, you're in Hollywood. When's the movie coming? Yeah.
Hey,
man, shop that script ASAP.
Hold on. Yeah. So you're 12.
I'm 12.
Child's conceived.
Exactly. So now, as we're going through litigation and we're doing research, I hadn't even reached puberty to be able to conceive a child. It gets deep.
Yo.
It gets deep. So now here's the thing. Even though once they knew that there was no way possible that this child at that time could have conceived this child, because he wasn't even producing semen at that time to produce a child, that had no bearings on the outcome of the case. We still were in litigation. That was in 2021. We were still litigating for a whole nother year. Because their only response was, your response is untimely.
Wow.
You didn't respond within 6 months.
Forget about the facts.
The facts means nothing.
Wow.
And as we're going through litigation, I found out they didn't even serve me. They where they said that they allegedly served me, I subpoenaed the owner of the home, and thank God the owner was still, she still owned the home from 1996 to at that point in 2021. She still owned the home. So I subpoenaed her, and I subpoenaed Los Angeles Department of Water and Power to come testify. I need both of you guys to bring your records to show who lived at this house where y'all said y'all allegedly served me at. The lady said at that time, I had no tenants. I wasn't renting this place out to no one. LADWP come and says, on this time, we had no service at this home. So there was forgery. There's perjury. There's a lot of things that went on in to establish this child support case. And
you represented yourself, right?
I represented myself.
You no did all your homework and the whole bit. What prompted you to do that with such a, I mean, it was a, that's a mountain of money for any person, you know, to have to be facing, to feel like they have the competence and wherewithal to be able to go through that process. Do you have a legal background?
No, yourself? No legal background. I mean, the thing is, once you start reading their, I just know how to comprehend. Once you start reading their policy, it tells you what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So I kept it real simple. Did you follow your own policy? Yes or no? I kept it real simple. I couldn't go into the legal and as far as the codes. Now, I did find out that there's a code. It's 28 USC 1691 that says that all writs and processes issued from a court of the United States shall be under the seal of the court and signed by the clerk thereof, meaning that all these documents, it must have Los Angeles Superior Court, and it must be signed by the county clerk, which is in California, in Los Angeles County. That's in Norwalk. So that's where birth certificates, death certificates, marriage licenses, the county clerk is supposed to sign that. On my documents, it had the signature, it had the stamp of the county clerk, but it was actually signed by a deputy clerk inside of the courtroom. And there's a Supreme Court case law called Scambi versus Tryon, which says that where these instruments are signed by a deputy clerk, they're void for lack of a judicial signature.
Mm. Well, this almost sounds like it's diving into the criminal element of someone is here trying to frame you.
It is definitely criminal. Right now, as we speak, my guys know where I'm finna go. His eyes got big. Like, wait, you finna say that? I mean, but it is what it is, man. We taking all the glove. Right now, as we speak, I have a $10 million lawsuit against child support in the county of Los Angeles in federal court. Because once the case got dismissed for fraud, I want to say that again. The case was dismissed for fraud.
That was the verdict.
That was the verdict.
Right.
It was dismissed for fraud. At that time, they offered to pay me back dollar for dollar. No interest, just dollar for dollar.
Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. But here's the thing. That $64,000 that they said I owe, that most of it, 40-something thousand of it, was interest that just came out of nowhere that was supposedly going to go to the state. So if you like interest, I like interest too.
Yeah. Right.
Y'all frauded me for 22 years. You think I'm just going to take back dollar for dollar? So I said, no. Right now, I'm suing them in federal court for 22 years of damages.
But what about the mother that made the claim?
There's no remedy there. I mean, I can go sue her, but what are you going to get? She has no policies. But here's the thing, because you mentioned it, criminal. Mm-hmm. And I learned this during my federal lawsuit against child support. When I initially filed my lawsuit, I filed with 9 claims. The federal judge, she dismissed 6 of them off top. She said, because these are criminal charges and this is a civil matter. So, and she said, in order for it to pursue a criminal matter, it has to be submitted to the district attorney, and the district attorney has to pick it up. So it's only so much you can do as far as on a criminal level. That's why a lot of people, when they sue, it's for civil, because the district attorney has to pick up the criminal matter. But if the district attorney is going after her, they're going to go after themselves. They're going to go after the county of Los Angeles as well, which
conflict of interest. They're not trying to shoot themselves in the foot.
Exactly.
Got it.
So, you know, what's crazy though is that on the face of this, you know, without diving deep into it, you would think this is just a guy who wants to avoid paying child support, when that's not even the case here. You know, it has nothing to do with you wanting to be a responsible father to your children. It's correct that the system tried to game you and you fought back.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And what I also found is child support is not a right. There's no right to child support. It is not a right. So mm-hmm. what I mean by that, these are not my words, this is fact. There's a Supreme Court case law, it's called Blessing versus Freestone, where five women from Arizona, they sued child support because they were receiving public assistance, and child support was going after the fathers for the money. But child support was keeping all of the money. Yeah. And the women was like, hey, where's our money at? Mm. They sued child support. Child support, in this case, they actually had to tell on themselves to keep the money. They said in that hearing that child support was never intended to benefit the child nor the custodial parent, even though they always said in the best interest of the child. They said it was never intended to benefit the child nor the custodial parent. It was intended to benefit
to pay back the state.
The state. And that's it's a Supreme Court case law, and it's monumental. It's called Blessing versus Freestone.
Wow, man. Could the same be said about child services, when they're taking these kids sometimes without, you know, real good reason for it? And it's like they're, because those systems are getting compensated, of course. Know, and then it's in their best interest to take these kids.
Yes, because now here's the thing. The conflict of interest that is they get incentivized on the back end to put people on child support. Mm-hmm. So there's something in the Constitution, it's the 14th Amendment, which is due process. Everyone should be guaranteed due process under the 14th Amendment. You have the right to be heard. You have a right to a fair trial. But there's no way you can receive a fair trial in a state hearing where the state they're incentivized on the back end to put you on child support. So they get a kickback based on their performance. They get $500 million a year, every state, based on their performance for collection of child support. So you don't think we're gonna collect more child support? Because they're getting bonuses. So that there makes child support fraud in its entirety, because you cannot get a fair trial. That's one. And then it violates the separation of powers. Now, right, this takes it back to high school, where there's judicial, there's executive, and the legislative branch. Yep. If you in one branch of government, you cannot partake in the other branches of government. There's a Supreme Court case law which is so is very new. It's SEC versus Cochran. And there's another one that was out of Minnesota. I want to say it's Holmberg versus Holmberg, where child support was found guilty of separations of power because they create their own codes, family code. You had 6 months to respond. So that's legislative. You're creating your own laws. You're enforcing it through child support enforcement. That is the executive branch. And then you're finding people guilty in your own hearing, which is the judicial part. So you are partaking in all three branches of government, which
in a microcosm. Wow.
Sounds like racketeering to me.
That alone. So when I say child support is fraud, that's what I mean. And this is not my opinion. This is fact. They've been found guilty of separations of for violating the separation of powers. This has not, child support has nothing to do with no children.
So your case was in the state of California.
Yes.
But it's how close, and I don't know how well you know, you probably have some familiarity, but like across the nation, how similar are the the rules of the game as compared to Los to LA County or California?
I'm glad you asked that, because everything that I use in my actual case, I didn't use not one California code. Everything I used was federal.
Wow.
Because I knew, based on my research, I can't get a fair trial using state statutes that benefit the state in a state hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I used was on a federal level, which applies to every state. 28 USC 16-1, that's a United States code that applies to all. All Supreme Court case law that I use, that's Supreme Court case law, is the supreme law of the land. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It governs every state. So when I started off saying, I don't play state games, because everything that I use was on a federal level.
So it's safe to say that federal, those statutes are going to trump any of the
of course
statewide laws.
Because and how? Because in the Constitution, there's the supremacy clause that says that no state can come up with their own state law that conflicts with the United States Constitution, and the federal code and the United States Constitution takes precedence over any state statute.
How many years of research and litigation did you say it was?
I started in 2020, 2 years.
So in 2 years, you became an attorney.
Straight up.
Yeah.
On this particular, you know, yeah, in this lane, right? Like, that's wild. And tell me if this is accurate, because you must have felt like your back was against the wall and you were like, yo, this is how I'm going to get out of it. Go ahead.
I take that back. It started in 2016. So I started doing my research in 2016.
Okay. But even why? Still, I think that's a very short period of time.
Because at the time I was getting married and, you know, we planning our honeymoon to go out of the country. I apply for a passport. Passport come. I'm like, okay, passport's here. Rip it open. It's a letter from child support. Your passport is on hold.
Yo, so time out. They blue-balled you like that? They sent you an envelope that shit said
you get hired, you about to get that fresh passport. Man,
I'm thinking it's my passport. It's a notice from child support saying you owe back pay arrears. Your passport is on hold. In order for you to get your passport, you have to pay it down to get it to $2,500 or less. So now
I know we're laughing now in hindsight, but yo, in that moment,
that must have been crushing.
How crazy was it?
I have to now go tell my wife the $3,800 that we spent to go to Punta Cana, DR. I can't go. You can go, but I can't go. How do you think that went?
Did she ever doubt that you really did have a child? Like, even though it didn't make the math didn't make sense, was there ever a time where she doubted the situation?
I wouldn't say doubted, but she was like, you need to find out.
Right.
And then as I got older, it's like I'm maturing. It's like I know now this is a whole, it gets deeper. In addition to me being 12 years old and not being able to produce semen, I never even penetrated the woman. I never penetrate. Now we attempted. I'm 12 years old. I don't know. This is my first. I don't know what I'm doing. I never passed go. I didn't collect $200. We tried. It didn't
work. Dry humping.
And I stopped. And it's right. Like, that was it. So she was like, you know, if that child has your name and if that's your child, if it has your blood, you want to. And I'm like, yeah, I do. So, you know, you try to reach out. It didn't go well. And then once this happened, now I'm doing my research to take them to court. And once we start doing the research and doing more research and discovery, it's like, wait a minute. I knew that I didn't penetrate the woman, but now I have scientific fact to show I hadn't even reached puberty.
It's crazy.
And there is a child in question, just not your child. So
correct.
That poor child in the middle of all of this, I wonder, I mean, I don't know if you have any any contact, but like the emotional strain on him, how was that?
It's a boy. My sister actually found him on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
And I actually spoke to him. And, you know, he was like, you know, initially my mom, she, and I really don't like talking about this part because it has no bearings on the outcome of the case, nor is it my goal to make her look bad.
Right.
Because I know she has other children, and that's just not my goal.
That's admirable.
Yeah. But she, like, he was like, she told me that initially you were my father, but later on she told me who my real father was, and that's who I know my father to be today.
Right.
Mm.
So.
She just forgot to tell child support.
She just forgot to
tell. Yeah. But that's the thing. Even though there's many people who they've actually went and did DNA testing and found out they're not the child's father, but they're considered the legal father, even though you're not the biological. So that's a rule that they created for themselves that says, you know, if you've established some sort of relationship, parent-child relationship with the child, you are now the legal father, even though you're not the biological father.
Even though under false you know, like,
senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. And there is no entitlement to custody. Like, it goes, the child support is fraud. It goes deep and deep, and it starts in the hospital when you sign in that acknowledgement of paternity. At that point, when you sign an acknowledgement of paternity in a hospital, it enters you into a dual contract with child support. If you look on the back or on the bottom, it tells you you are entering into a dual contract with child support services, and you are agreeing that if you don't follow or you don't take care of your offspring, we can come after you for child support. But here's the problem for them. It's 45 CFR 303.5 that says when paternity is being established, they must provide both parents the legal consequences of establishing voluntary paternity, because child support is voluntary. So what are the legal consequences? Suspended license, passports, bank levies, possible jail time. All of these things are the legal consequences. If they don't provide that to both parents in writing, by audio or video, and provide them with the opportunity to speak with a trained professional, then paternity was never even established, and they never even had jurisdiction to move forward with child support.
So you mentioned you have two children.
I have three.
Three that are yours, that you know for sure are yours.
Who reside in my home from day one.
How has the decision to even have children, how did that get impacted by what you just went through? Because how old are your kids now?
My daughter, she's 17. She'll be 18 okay. next month. My two youngest boys is 10 and 8.
Okay. So you've been living through this whole thing kind of in tandem with having your own kids.
Yeah.
Like how did that whole thing unravel, and how did it affect you as a father to your children?
I don't think it affected, it didn't affect me, my parenting with my children at all. Because the bulk of it happened before they were even born. Well, as far as like with my daughter, she's always resided in my home. There was a few years where she went with her mother, but once we separated, I had sole custody of my daughter for 8 years. So, and that's the thing, I experienced child support on both sides because her brother got into some legal issues and I had to go get her. So I had full custody of our daughter for 8 years. Once she, you know, started getting her thing together, and she was receiving cash aid benefits, and that stuff came to me when I now the custodial parent.
Right.
So they start going after her. So what do I do? The money that they're giving to me, I'm cashing the checks, but I'm giving her the money back. So it's not affecting her at all.
Right.
Now they took her taxes. I said, okay, let's go ahead and close this out. We go into mediation. I give her back 50-50 of our daughter.
Yep.
She takes the new order to child support and said, we're now custodial parents, both parties. Therefore, the judicial order supersedes the child support administrative hearing, and they stop the child support case effective immediately.
So this is not even, it affects both genders, both the mother and the father in any situation.
They don't discriminate, but they are intentional about going after the fathers.
Right.
Yeah. How do because you've delved so deeply into this topic and experienced all these things you've gone through, how do you look at that specific piece of it, right? How it is almost uniquely targeted to dads, mm-hmm. and what and why you think that is?
Why? That starts from, to understand child support, you have to take it back to the very beginning. So Title 4A is a grant that was given out that was started in 1935. In 1935, this was after the Great Depression, men went to war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So at that time, women couldn't work. So if a man had to go to war or he left his family, the women, she couldn't survive. So they had to create this program, the cash aid, the benefits, and the Medi-Cal. At that time, this is in 1935, but here we are in 1975, they said, well, look, we giving out too much money over here it's a grant. So right. They created Title 4D, which is child support. They call it child support, but child support is Title 4D. Child support is the marketing strategy for Title 4D. Title 4D is the enforcement for Title 4A. But here's the thing. What is a grant? Let me just ask you guys. What do you know a grant to be?
Free government money.
Free money. So if you're giving out money as a grant, how do you create an enforcement unit to enforce that? How do you have an obligation to participate in something that's voluntary? And how do you have an obligation to pay back money that was given out as a grant?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. The math is not mathing. But this is that's the intent, because they're going after the non-custodial parents. And even when you allow them to call you a non-custodial parent, that it ultimately says that you are guilty of not claiming your parental rights in family court, saying I am not a non-custodial parent. I am, both parents are guaranteed equal time with their children. That is your constitutionally protected right. But if you don't claim them, they presume that you waive them.
Oh, you gotta right. opt in.
Yes, you have to claim. Unfortunately, you have to claim your parental rights, because if you don't, they presume that you've abandoned your children.
Wow. And right.
In a lot of cases, people will see that it has their child versus them on the court documents, because they're saying that your child is the injured party. You are the person that injured them. And what are the damages? You've abandoned your children, and now your children will become dependent upon government assistance.
Hmm. In your opinion, who do you think benefits from this system? Because it doesn't seem like the government employees that don't make that much money are the ones benefiting. So this broken system, who's benefiting off of this scam?
The judges, the state, and the government. They give out the money for free. They print the money. So the benefactors are the judges and the states, because that's who get incentivized on the back end.
Is there any evidence that you've noticed that minority communities are more affected or more targeted?
Yes. You touched on something. There is something called the Dear Colleague Letter. The Department of Justice just issued this, I believe it was April 20th, 2023. It's a Dear Colleague Letter. They sent it to child support, the courts, and let everybody know. Child support, the suspended people's licenses, passports, all these fines and fees, they are unlawful, and you are specifically targeting people in poverty areas. it blew my mind that they actually put it in there. Wow. Because in 2016, they wrote an initial Dear Colleague letter, but when Trump came into office, he put the chokehold on them and he made them rescind it. But once he was out of office, they reinstated a new one and they put that in there. I was shocked that they actually did it. It literally says that.
Wow.
It literally says that they are specifically targeting black and brown people.
Yeah,
it doesn't change the fact that child support is still kind of functioning as it always has, right?
And that's the whole reason for the platform. It is to ultimately to change these actual these codes, because we're still operating and being condemned from laws that were created in 1935 when women couldn't work. Women are thriving today. So it's not an attack on women. I'm just saying that you can't say that it's an abandonment based on when, if you left a woman in 1935, she couldn't work.
Right.
So the laws just have to change to make it the playing field very even. And I want to be very clear. I 1000%, my guy here, he doesn't agree, but I 1000% believe if anyone is not taking care of their children, then they deserve to be on child support. But for the fathers that are actively fighting, like, why do you have to fight to get more time with your child? You want support, but you don't want support. Like, why do we have to fight to get more time? The state wants you to, they'll give you every other weekend because they want you to be classified as a non-custodial parent. At that point, now they can come after you.
But now when it's split down the middle 50-50, now that changes the game. You're now a custodial parent, correct?
So, yes. So you have to go into and claim your parental rights, because both, it is your God-given right that both parties are guaranteed equal opportunity with your children. You just have to claim them. Yeah.
So how do you, I know the book is one way. How are you telling these stories or even helping fathers or not even fathers, just parents that are in similar scenario, you know, situations? What are you doing?
Or not even parents in this situation.
Well, shit, right.
Let's be honest.
Right.
Yeah. So right now, as you stated, as you see it in the background, I am the author of How I Stopped Child Support Legally. That book, it is my step-by-step process from the time I found out about child support to the day the case was actually dismissed for extrinsic fraud. It has everything inside of there, the documents that I used, the documents that child support filed, the documents the court filed. Everything is in there. So you actually see illustrations from step by step on where the fraud happened, what they did, how they did it, how there was remedy, everything. And then also we have the Instagram page, which is Child Support is Fraud, where that's the main outlet that I use to get the information out to the people at the fastest rate.
Have you been getting any pushback from anywhere, any pressure?
As of right now, it's just coming from Instagram. Like, as of right now, they suspended my, I can't even send DMs for a whole year. It's been 6 months now.
Right.
Just yesterday, I got a message saying I can't even respond to comments for a whole day. So today I'm good. But that's the only pushback that I've seen. It's wild. So
on what grounds? Like, what is Meta telling you? Like,
community,
wilding, bro. Like, you can't say shit like that. Like, what are they saying?
To protect our community policy. It's like, but they don't say what community policy. It's like, what are you?
Yo, there's ass and titties and craziness out there all day long. Why are you? Why is it on you?
And all I'm doing is telling you, here's the code, here's the case law. Opinions are welcome, I'm just going to show you the facts. And then
information.
That's it. And people always asking me, if you send child support is fraud and it's unconstitutional, it's unlawful, how do they get away with it? It's something called prima facie. Now, I'm sure both of you guys have both heard innocent until proven guilty, right?
Right.
That's in a judicial matter. But child support is not judicial. It's a part of the executive branch. It's an administrative process. The judges, I call them fake judges. Shout out to my guy, Rick W. He coined that term, fake judges. They are attorneys acting as temporary judges in this process. So prima facie says that it's first in line is first to shine. They take everything as true and correct until you provide evidence to show that it's not. So if child support files this case against you because it is a lawsuit and they say that you are guilty, you didn't claim your parental rights, even though they didn't provide you the legal disclosures. They filed the summons, the complaint, the proof of service, even though it wasn't under the seal of the court or signed by the clerk thereof, none of that. The court still take those documents on its face as true and correct until you provide evidence to say that it's not.
Right. The burden of proof is on the
defendant. Is on you. Yes.
And that almost sounds like anybody at any moment could be framed in this way. Could be like a mother or a father even could be like, this is so-and-so's child. Go get them. It doesn't seem like they'll even go and check into it too much.
Two quick stories. Most recently, I posted up on the Instagram page. I'm in child support, just in there because they still was trying to enforce the lien on my name 5 years after the case was dismissed for fraud. So I'm in there to get the actual release. I'm in there, but I'm recording. A young lady walks in and says, "Hey, I want to start a new child support case." And the lady at the desk, she says, "Okay, you got a social security number?" That's the very first thing that came out of them. You cannot. It is against the law to give someone else's social security number. That's the very first thing she asked. There's no checks and balances. Another quick story. My guy, one credit guy, he helped a young lady. She had sole custody of her children. The father went and got cash aid from the government and said that he was the custodial parent. They started a child support case against this woman, and the kids reside with her, go to school from her house. She was a custodial parent. They didn't do no checks and balances. She had to go in there and fight and get the case dismissed and prove that she takes care of the kids, even though they live in her house. They don't do checks and balances. It's prima facie.
Basically, Maury Povich does a better job of finding out who's the parent.
Ooh, man, exactly. Exactly.
Jeez. Yo, so Lana, where can people find the book? And is it all right now that you have to offer folks, or do you have other things?
Yeah,
tools for people?
Yeah, so right now everything is on childsupportisfraud.com. The book is there. Also do consultations. We have master classes as well, just going through just to educate parents on their parental rights. So that's the main thing, because what I don't like is for people to just see information that I post on Instagram and try to go and regurgitate that and then go into a hearing. Oh, well, child support is fraud. You don't have jurisdiction. Okay. Based on what grounds? Now you're like, so it's like, I want to educate parents of their parental rights so they know how to go into these venues and create competent defenses for themselves. And ultimately the main thing is obtaining joint physical custody of your children. So it ain't just like, just go get off child support. No, go get physical custody of your children. That's why I have this shirt. I'm not an NCP. I'm not an obligor. I'm a custodial parent. Because that, when that happens, that eliminates all of the things that they're trying to put on you. Because if once you allow them to call you an obligor or a non-custodial parent, you are agreeing that you've been found guilty in family court.
It's a great message, because like, you know, like some people might take from like beating the system, right? Like how the title of your book, some people might take it that way and forget about, or purposely try to not really handle their business as a father.
Of course,
this actually opens the opportunity for you to as a couple or former couple, right? Like, figure out the best way to co-parent those kids and alleviate the pressures that come from other parties that have no real interest in the benefits of your children. That's on y'all, right? So it's actually now in this day and age where the title co-parent is a thing, right? Back in the day, nobody used that term, but it helps to reinforce like the focus of like, yo, we don't work, but we got to figure out a way to make it amicable so we can raise these kids.
Because that's ultimately what's in the best interest of the child. The best interest of the child is for all children to partake in equal time with both parents, unless there's history of drugs, neglect, or abuse. If they can prove that you're unfit, then you don't need to. But other than that, they have no rights to deny either parent their parental rights, especially when they're in there claiming them.
And let's be honest, this is probably just one example of many ways that the government, you know, is overreaching, you know, government overreach. And usually where the people that are suffering the most are the ones that feel that they have the least tools to fight back.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, take me, for example. They just told me, oh, well, based on family code, you have 6 months to respond. There's nothing that you can do. When people hear that don't have any legal background or any tools to understand what they just told you, they just told you a family code. What is a family code? Is not law. Yeah. It's not law. This is, they have, if you work at McDonald's have their own procedures. Jack in the Box have their own procedures. That's not law. That's just what, if you come in here, sign in a contract, say you want to work for us, this is what you agree. This is how we run things here. That's all it is. Family code is not law.
All right.
Where do you intend to take this? What's your goal in this journey?
My ultimate goal is to, like I said, to assist every parent in understanding their parental rights and changing the laws to making the playing fields even. Because like you said, most people don't even know that they even have rights. So out the gate, that puts you at five steps behind when you don't even know that you even have rights and these options are even available to you. The main thing is child support reform. That's the main thing. Child support reform.
Well, Lionel, man, it was a pleasure having you here. Before we actually leave, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
NCP means non-custodial parent.
Correct.
Obligor, what is that?
An obligor, that's when they say you have an obligation. You have an obligation to take care of your child. But here's the thing. How are you obligated to participate in something that's voluntary? How are you obligated to pay back money that was given as a grant? How are you? So an obligor says that you're guilty. A non-custodial parent says that you're guilty.
Right.
So that's why it's just educating people on that these are your parental rights. And you, unfortunately, you have to invoke them in order to reserve them.
Dope.
Real dope. Yeah, man. Vital information. Man.
Yeah, this is hugely beneficial information. I feel smarter just having a conversation with you. So I appreciate you dropping the gems. And I mean, like you said, like the ignorance around the understanding, like it's substantial. Like I consider myself a fairly well-read person, and all of this is brand new to me.
Brand new, yeah, for sure.
And it's I appreciate it's public information. Like, and that's why I say opinions are welcome, but these are the facts. I encourage you, go do your own research. You'll see the case laws, they're there.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, man. Shout out to our mutual homie Rod who connected us as well.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. That's shout out to Rod, right, man. Yeah.
Great dude.
Yeah, great dude.
All right, y'all. If you want more information, childsupportisfraud.com is one of the places. The other one is at childsupportisfraud. Is that correct on IG?
Yes. Yes. Okay. But take care of them kids, though, man.
Yeah, man.
This ain't no get out of jail free call.
Nah, take care of them kids. That's what we're here. We taking care of these kids. Man, don't get it twisted.
For sure.
All right, man.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
And we'll talk again for sure.
All right. Peace.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child. Be a father to your child.